I'm going to read a couple verses from Mark chapter 10. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them into his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Well, tonight's topic is relevant to children. At least it's prompted by concern for children, even though other things might bear on it. And it's, should parents be licensed? Yes, no, or maybe. And I think what we're going to do is we'll probably start with arguments for licensing parents, just to get the thesis out, and see what direction the conversation might go. And to my left are two professors from Slippery Rock State Teachers College in Pennsylvania, Dave and Sonia. And Dave will open by giving a considered argument in behalf of licensing parents. And Sonia will add some additional reasons. And to my right, two professors from Harvard University, Charlotte and Dave, will also give us their judgment and react, and then we'll open it up for a general discussion. Okay for format?
It's time.
Yeah.
Every year in this country, more than 500,000 children are abused by one or both of their parents. And the consequences of this abuse are tragic. Individually, these children frequently display psychological problems, from neuroses, psychoses, or worse. When they grow up, there's a tendency for them to be abusive parents. Children who have been abused tend to run afoul of the law in much greater numbers than children from normal families. And I think the conclusion we can safely draw is that the biological ability to procreate does not go hand in hand with, or does not necessarily go hand in hand with, the ability to be an adequate parent. Now, that's a truism, and as a philosopher, one of the doggone difficulties I've had all these years is with truism, because the bad thing about them is that they're true. The question is, where do we go from here? I'm proposing that those who wish to biologically procreate and be parents only be permitted to do so if they're licensed by the state. Now, think about the following phenomena in our culture. There are many roles, there are many vocations for which licensure is absolutely mandated. If you want to practice surgery, if you want to give legal advice, if you want to dispense pharmaceuticals, if you want to drive a car, you have to be licensed. Now, why is that? Why have citizenry decided that those ought to be licensed roles? Well, I think the reason is because, when you stop to think a minute, the exercise of those activities, performing surgery, dispensing pharmaceuticals, legal advice, driving a car, those activities are such that if you're incompetent, you can seriously harm people. And that's why licensure is demanded. And you cannot get licensure without successfully passing some sort of appropriate test which measures your competence. I think that parenting is strictly analogous to these other roles, because parenting is also an activity such that if one is not competent, one is at risk of seriously injuring human beings. So I'm proposing that parenting be subject to licensure. Let me explain how this would work. I want to start with the most simple-minded illustration of how this policy would work. But let me begin with a preliminary assumption. I'm going to assume that most children who arrive in this world are conceived by married couples. The preponderant number are. Now, I'm not denying that there's a significant problem with out-of-wedlock children. I'm not denying that. But just if you want to know how this program would operate, let's just deal with the following circumstance. My program is going to depart from what I think is the standard case, namely people who get married with the intent to procreate and be parents, or people who get married, maybe with not the intent, but they find we have a pregnancy, it may even be unwanted, but they nonetheless choose not to abort, but to bring the child to term and raise the child in their own household. So let's just talk about procreation within the gambit of marriage. How would this program work? Well, each party who shows up to apply for a marriage license would be required to take, at a minimum, a psychological profile test that was designed to reveal whether the person has personality traits that identify him or her as likely to be an abusive parent. Now, note what the point of this test is. The point of this test is not to be able to grade the test takers along some continuum from likely to be super dad, or likely to be okay, likely to be fair to middling, likely to be rather bad, versus likely to be awful. I mean, all we're concerned with is this test is seeing whether we can put a finger in advance on individuals who I'll call ticking time bombs, whose performance on this particular test shows them to be at risk of being an abusive one. We're just trying to isolate a set of worrisome people. Now, you may end up saying, well, that's all nice to talk about the test, but that's all la la. I say no, because we've already had fledgling beginning with this at Nashville General Hospital a number of years ago, in which a test of this type was devised. It was really the first generation of this particular test. And what we found is that after a longitudinal study, after 10 years, 4 out of 5 of the people that were identified by the test to be at risk of being abusive turned out to be. And this is with the first generation test. I don't think the ball game's over. I think developing tests like this is possible. Well, how would this go on to work? Well, it would mean that all marriage license applicants whose score on this test is above, you know, the high risk threshold, they'd all be gold. They'd automatically be issued a license permitting these persons to have legal custody of children and to function as a parent. Now, if somebody failed the test, you know, fell into the at-risk category, then as a member of a cohabiting couple, they would be denied the right to have legal custody of any children. Now, if an unlicensed couple went ahead and bore children anyway, then those children would be immediately subject to removal from the home by appropriate authorities for the purpose of being placed in an approved foster care homes or orphanages pending adoption by parents who are licensed. Now, what I do want to indicate, if that one is denied a license to have legal custody of children, that's not a forever thing. Because, like taking a driver's test and maybe blowing it, my plan holds out the possibility of someone come back and taking the test again, perhaps after psychological counseling and so forth, and perhaps passing it, in which case the person is golden. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of objections that might be raised to this. I can only take up a few and indicate how they might be responded to. There might be some theoretical objections. Somebody might say, look, people have got a right to bear children. I agree. Just as they have rights to free speech, to free religious expression. And you might be able to argue then that it's unacceptable for society to require a license to do something that you've got a right to do. And that's why licensing parents is unacceptable. Now my answer to this is, look, I know of no constitutional right. I can't name one which is unconditional. Take the right of free travel. Right, I have a right of free travel, except I don't have a right to, like, you know, just sort of walk through your house between your bedroom and your bathroom. I have the right of free expression, except I do not have the right to yell fire in a crowded theater when there isn't any fire. I do not have the right to slander and defame others. I have a right of free religious expression. But if I'm a worshiper of the god Moloch and have to offer a child sacrifice every year or something, arguably I'm not going to be allowed to do this. I can't name one constitutional right that is unlimited and unqualified. So I ask, why should the right to procreate be any different? I don't think it is. Now, somebody might also object, if you had a parent licensing program, you're going to be in big trouble. Because what you're going to end up doing is you're going to restrain somebody's freedom on the ground that they're a ticking time bomb, when as a matter of fact, they have never, ever actually abused anyone, right? They've never actually abused anyone, but you're not going to let them do this because you think there's good grounds that they might. Now, I think we should all be very suspect. This is in law called the doctrine of prior restraint. Restraining somebody who might be harmful to others before that person ever demonstrates any of it, I think we ought to be suspect of it. But I think there are cases in which we do practice prior restraint. We have very good evidence that somebody might be a danger both to themselves and to others. We limit their mobility and so forth, so I'm suggesting that in parenting, that exception might well be there. Now, my piece de resistance argument in favor of my proposal is this. Think about my proposal in connection with what we're already going through with respect to adopting children. My wife and I had a very difficult time having children biologically, and we started adoption procedures. I was astonished. I mean, I stood economically nude, psychologically nude. I mean, what do they do? Well, first, Peters, we'd like to see an IRS form because we'd like to know that you've got sufficient income to be able to raise this child. Then I've got to go in, for an evaluation by a social worker, and she asked me all kinds of questions, which are very searching. Nancy's got to go in separately, and she's asked a whole bunch of questions. Then we have a couple, we come in, and then we're interrogated. Then they send somebody out to our house to look it over and see what they got on their children, what kind of pets you got, what your house looks like. Talk about invasive, my God. But the question is, why are they doing this? Well, the point is, there's a child's life at stake. And I dare say that if any of us think about it for a nanosecond, nobody here thinks that that's wrong. That's exactly what we should do. There should be the conduct of just that kind of inquiry, because it's a child's life. Now, I submit that if any of you do not think that the kind of intrusive look-see that's done of prospective adoptive parents, if there's nothing wrong with that, you shouldn't have any problem with my program, because I'm not even close to that. So I believe in some that there is eminently good reason that parenting ought to be subjected to licensure. And I...
Well, let's thank our first speaker.
Thank you.
Sonia.
Yeah. From the nursing department at Slippery Rock State, I am pleased to follow my colleague who has presented such an eloquent debate and support him from my perspective as a nurturing professional. And as a nurse who works with a lot of families, I support the idea that parents should be licensed, because I have seen the outcome of abusive situations and neglectful situations and accidents that shouldn't have happened, as well as a lot of other outcomes of non-nurturing parenting behavior. What I support is, as a follow-up to looking at a personality profile, the looking closer at self-esteem levels, looking closely at the ability to care, looking closely at the ability to have a sense of responsibility to parent, because those are all preliminary requirements for being able to nurture a child. And the research bears this out. It continues to be studied, so that a licensure program would be able to ensure that a person about to embark on parenting would have the ability to nurture a child to wellness and to a full and healthful life. Non-nurtured children are costing billions of dollars in foster care, intensive care nurseries, general health expenses, drug and alcohol rehabilitation programs, teenage pregnancies, and on and on. In addition to the costs in that respect, we have a lot of negative costs of the societal losses of brilliant young minds to depression and suicide, high-risk behavior and homicide because of non-nurturing parent behavior. Standardized test scores, for instance, are declining. There are lots of factors related to that, but there have been lots of links to what's going on at home. 20% of our children between 3 and 17 now have developmental learning or behavior disorders. 20% of children live in poverty, and a variety of statistics can be related to neglect. So we would like to present some licensure criteria to follow this up that would be linked to the argument, and also follow up on some of the ethical discussions that have happened related to the Human Genome Project. First of all, I'm proposing that acceptable standardized scores be reached on the Myers Parental Nurturance Questionnaire. And as my colleague spoke of earlier, the self-esteem level subscale and the personality profile would need to have acceptable scores. And a genome analysis completed on those parents who are about to bear their children would be possible in a few years, such that we would be able to look at the chromosome markers for things like bipolar disorder, depression, chronic illnesses which would immobilize parents or have them be unable to perceptually care for their children. There would be a variety of markers that would be we would be looking at. We would be teasing in the research to see what relationship there might be between that and the outcome of nurturant behavior for children. So this is our proposal for licensure.
Well, let's hear it for Sonia. Do you want to go up there or stay? Our third speaker is Charlotte.
Basically, I do agree with it, but not quite the licensing part. You said 4 in 5 of this test were shown to be abusive of the ones that they thought. Well, what about that 1 in 5? So we're saying that just because you are likely, you cannot have it, even though you still have a chance of raising the child just as good as someone else that did pass it could. What might be a way to help that is not exactly say you cannot have it, but say you can have the child, but we will keep an eye on you more. We will check in on you. Instead of saying no, period.
You'd be subject to surveillance or something.
Like a call-in thing, or like having someone visit you, or
they do surveillance-like things for kids.
There's something
going. You are at high risk,
so surveillance
is what we are going to do because. And make it out of the moat. This is what we are going to do. We're not saying no, you cannot, but yes, you are at high risk. We are going to keep an eye on you. The test should be allowed. I don't see anything wrong with it. You said some statistics on LD people. Well, that just seems to be more recognized now. 4 years ago, there was no such thing as learning disabled. Nothing was said about that. There weren't tests for it, and it wasn't recognized. Now it is, and this is probably the reason that there's an increase in people who have learning disabled. It's not because we have more, it's just because we recognize it. Gene structure is a good way to say, okay, this is what you're likely to do again. But it's not positive. And we're not sure exactly how positive those genes are yet. We're not. So again, we should go back to that thing of, yes, we are. Yes, you are at high risk. So yes, we are going to keep an eye on you. But no, we're not going to ban it from you. Children aren't like cars. You shouldn't have to have a license like a car. We're better, and we have different impact on people, for parents. Having a child, a parent is more likely, from what I know, is more likely going to not. If the parent does have... Okay. If the parent looks like they are gonna do it, has a high risk of being abusive or something, having the child, nurturing the child, might actually help that parent. So it could be an equal thing. So they help each other.
Want to try resetting it one more time?
A child can help straighten out a parent, and some of the most unlikely best parents that you can find will become the best parents because the child will turn them around. So how can we say that you won't be a good parent when we don't know what the child, how the child is going to impact that parent. And we don't know what they are going to be like 5, 10 years down the line. Does that make more sense?
Yes.
And one other thing, enforcing.
Enforcing?
How do you enforce this? And it's gonna, what I would see it being like is when abortion was banned, they were having abortion in the back alleys. But if we said that you have to have a license, and if the parent doesn't have a license, then wouldn't they just be having the doctors in the back alleys, having the babies in the back alleys again? Instead of you flip-flop. And just how would we enforce it? That would be a real hard thing. And are we willing to put that into it? All the stuff that we would have to put into it. Such as money, manpower, the debating that would have to go on.
Is it, you said everything? Well, let's thank Charlotte. Here we go to David.
Okay, personally, I am for the legalizing the parent, making them fill out the And because it basically all revolved around me for the neglect topic. Because I remember you got, most of you probably wouldn't remember when, I can't remember what year it was, but kids have been left in cars in scorching weather, like up in the 100 to 110 degree weather, in a locked car, leather seats, no ventilation whatsoever. And they are getting scorched to death. And that's me, and that involves major neglect right there, because the parents aren't taking note of the weather, the potential danger that their kids are in, and the death toll on how many kids that could happen to. And also kids gaining access to guns. The guns would be the kids thinking that they're a play toy, kids taking the gun and pointing it to themselves, thinking it won't hurt, but then it goes off and kills them. The parents are not getting the kids into extracurricular activities to get them so they would not shoot, would not do these things to themselves. And also, the most recent thing that I think I can remember was the mom and the dad that left their kids at home by themselves. They're only like 4 and 6 or 4 and, I can't remember what it was. I can't remember where it happened at, but some of you may know what I'm talking about.
The case in Molino, Oregon, where a 9-year-old was left in charge of a 6-year-old daughter child.
Yes, that's the one that I'm referring to. Okay. Yes, correct. That was, and then the cops are surrounding the house right when they get back. That was also a case of major neglect. I don't think that kids should be left at home by themselves while parents have gone on a nice trip without having some supervision, even if it's a grandparent. some sort, they have to have some supervision, whether it's a long-term babysitter or a relative or a family member or something like that, because supervision is mandatory. Do you remember the length of time they were gone for? The one who stated where it was?
Excuse me?
Do you remember the length of time that the kids were left at home?
They were left alone for a whole day while the mother was volunteering at their older children's school.
And resorting to the, the learning disabilities topic, I am one of those kids who has ADD, ADHD, which is attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactive disorder with the fetal alcohol background. And if my mom would not have adopted me when I was 9 days old, I would either, I would probably be in a family, but I could still also be under foster care until somebody wanted me for either A, doing like major manual labor and like some farmhand business, or as a normal kid. But the learning disabilities revolved around my first mom, my birth mom, having drugs when I was inside of her. And that put a toll on me because A, I think they, on the form that they signed, the parents should have, there should be a question on there saying that if you do give birth to this kid, if you do get pregnant, you will refrain from taking drugs, you'll refrain from, doing all the bad drugs while you have this kid, and then after you have this kid, you can start up as much as you want, but while you're, I'm not trying to say that the kids should start up, that the parents should start up again. I'm just saying that the parents should restrain themselves from having drugs and alcohol and beverages while they have the kid, because it can cause brain damage to the kid that the kid itself does not want. The parents probably have no idea that this would happen. But basically it's bad that the parents do that, and I am totally for the legalizing the parents to be parents. Thanks.
We have heard three speakers speak categorically in favor of licensing parents. We've heard one speaker list a number of problems that might raise. Let me just ask if there's anyone in the room who would like to speak contrary, that is to say, give a case why the idea is a bad idea, or someone who might want to object to anything that the four speakers might have said. Yes.
I don't actually have an opinion yet whether it's a good or bad idea. I do see a couple problems.
Right.
You're with Charlotte, definitely on enforcing.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys mentioned LD, and I do agree with her there. It's, some LD problems do come from bad parenting, but a lot of it nowadays is just, it just happens. And, the effects of drug and alcohol use, and if they do use them excessively, not just like during pregnancy, but normally, because there are lots of alcoholic-caused abusers and stuff like that. So,
would you go so far as to make alcohol and drug abuse criteria for permitting the licensure of parents, or were you just mentioning that as something we need to think about?
I would, to make it a criteria that they did not.
Mm-hmm. So you tend to agree with David,
at least,
right?
Look at what the effects of alcohol and drugs have on them.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't always like violent if they're alcoholics, but there are.
So modest imbibers may be satisfactory parents, but
mm-hmm.
alcoholics. Did you want to respond to him?
Actually, I just had something to add on to that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
How can you tell if they're not, if they are or are not going to drink new drugs? Drugs is illegal, period. So shouldn't that be, period, part of the testing for the license? If there was one, or testing?
Add another one, huh?
And
so you've got
problem with enforcing.
No, I think you've already done it.
You can't. Even one-time testing.
Well, it looks like you persuaded Sandy.
Can I just press data a little bit? If I understood you, I'll put words in your mouth, but I thought you were plumping for some notion that when a couple comes in to apply for a marriage license, and we're going to license them, that one of the things they would have to do is to sign an oath that while the woman is pregnant, that there will be no alcoholic consumption or something, which would be a legally binding document which would render them subject to prosecution if in fact they did it. Am I on track?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes. I am way for that because drugs during pregnancy, in my personal opinion, is a major no-no. I think the parents should sign an oath not stating that they will not have drugs while they are pregnant. And they should like have maybe a weekly to month, maybe monthly drug test done on them because if they are taking drugs while they're pregnant with the kid, they should either the doctor will most likely be able to find it. They would either have the option of they would mainly not have an option. They probably just have to have an abortion or give an abortion.
Okay.
There's,
we'll give you time to finish. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right, go ahead.
It's funny just to talk against this because I always have, in some ways, thought, yes, this is exactly what we need. I teach young children, so I certainly see the problems that are involved in their lives. But I want to say that this is really ripe for abuse. Talk about Big Brother coming down. Not only would you, as my family was talking about it, we were making all kinds of jokes about, wiping out the deficit by licensing and making that a big high price, so that if you really wanted to have a child and weren't going to have it aborted, you were going to have to pay $10,000 or whatever, so that you could have, not only could you charge people, and not that you maybe would at the beginning, but it's ripe for that kind of taxation, I'm sure, just like we
tax cars. The fees might go up high.
Absolutely, but that's not even the worst. The real problem, I think, comes from an automaton kind of Big Brotherism that it is certainly inherent in this whole licensing procedure. We will say we want people who are this, and we don't want them to watch television more than 7 hours a day. We don't want them to have their kids play Nintendo. We want them to have friends that look like this. What looks like a pretty innocent kind of criteria, it could end up being terribly prescriptive. Not only that, but I have to say that in this classroom where I have children in foster care, kids whose fathers are in prison, I can't tell you, kids who are living out of cars, and I really do, some of the kids that come from the worst families are the most resilient. And I think that really adds to the diverse population that we have today. Just because your parents aren't functioning in some ways, it makes you perhaps stronger and a more full character than often children who are too pampered or who have all the nurturance that we would want for all kids. Just because you're not getting that nurturance doesn't mean that you as a child aren't flourishing in your own peculiar way.
Let me mention that we've actually heard two slightly different positions. David's position was very simple, one and only one criterion, namely that you pass a test regarding your potential as an abuser. Sonia's position has a laundry list of criteria that would distinguish better parents. Am I fair to the two of you? And it sounds to me like your criticism would be primarily against Sonia's version of it.
Although I think that David's also, once you get started down that slippery road of can you answer this question right or not, you're bound to be really prescribing what kind of personalities you want, and if somebody gets a glitch and answers in a way that you don't particularly appreciate, that's not quite right.
Let me say, right now I'd like to hear people who would object to the proposal to license parents. Let's hear those objections first. Go ahead.
I'm thinking about what we really want to accomplish by proposing a licensing procedure. You know, when I read in the paper or I hear on the news about a child that's been abused or neglected, I'm horrified. I'm sure we all are. And the immediate response is, you know, there ought to be a law. You know, this just isn't right. And so I understand that that sense of frustration and an outrage at the injustice that happens to innocent people. But I also know that making a law that requires a procedure like this is not going to create loving parents. The only thing that creates a person who is able to be a loving parent or be a loving friend or spouse or some in relationship with someone else is that person's experience of being unconditionally loved. That's what does it. And there's no way you can create that ability by making someone take a test or get a license. It's just not going to solve the problem.
Can I say something about the test? Am I going out of line saying if with the test, if one of the questions that was asked was like not answered to the test giver's approval, can they stop it right there and say no, you may not have this license to your parent, no, you cannot do this and that, or is this a test just to see if it is this just a yes no test on going either way?
Would either of you two want to speak to that?
I've never seen this Nashville General Hospital test. I don't really know how it works.
Sounds like a score thing. You'd have to get like your license test where you have to score above certain, right?
Right. In other words, all we're trying to ambush now and isolate or identify in advance are those that are likely to be awful. See? Anybody above the threshold is golden.
So it wouldn't be like a, it wouldn't be like a yes or no thing. It'd be like you'd have to get above.
But then Charlotte had sort of a little twist on it. Now you wouldn't just literally debar them, but you'd have a probationary parenting, or I don't know, like you were plumbing, something like that.
Yeah.
You'd be subject to legitimate surveillance.
Because you still have that 1 in 5 that isn't going to mention, and that's the violation of rights.
Okay, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to 9:30, which gives us a little bit of time, and we are. Okay. All right, let me just put an order. We're still collecting primarily objections, but let's go to you. Then, who is it that has a hand upstairs?
I did.
You did, and then down to you. So let's go, and then you, then we'll go to these four people. So, please.
2 points, one is about testing. I think we're talking about this like this test is really simple and no big deal, and that it would be very clear to identify who's in what category, and I think that that is totally false. And we have no information about how many abusers are not getting that positive test. So maybe we're catching, 80%, but there are a whole slew of people who are not being identified by the test.
I guess I would respond this way.
This percent's pretty good.
No one thinks that the driver's license test is 100% accurate. There's a lot of people that pass it that are killers on the highway, okay? No one thinks that med boards are 100% good filters, that everybody that passes it is a great doctor. I mean, so they're not 100% accurate, but I don't think we're willing to cast a test to the wind because they have this
No, I'm just saying that I think we need to be a little bit more rigorous about the numbers with our testing, with both false positives and false negatives before we start devising any kind of...
I think we assume that both are reliable and valid to the extent that we could make it.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're really intruding on freedom.
Mm-hmm. And my second point has to do with the neurobiology of parenting and the kind of hormonal changes and the changes in the neurotransmitters in the brain that happen when a woman gives birth. And in all sorts of species, this has been studied. Just lots of examples of parental behavior that happens during pregnancy and after birth. And if we're having this licensing thing happen before conception, we are totally ruling out that the power of the biology of our body.
Would you have any sympathy to what Charlotte was saying earlier, that it's possible that a child coming in, that the child might transform the parents?
Well, I guess I have some problems with that. I really certainly don't want to have children so that I can mature myself. Though they sure have helped,
they have the potential to.
I should jump in on that one.
You're next.
I've worked with a lot of childbearing women, and I have seen women who probably conceive with very little parenting potential that's visible to anybody around them. But somehow during the process of childbearing and faced with the responsibility of doing their best for this child, do in fact turn their lives around for the sake of the child. I've seen that happen many times. Now, my comment was kind of along the line of that one right down there, which is with the licensing, you definitely jump on a slippery slope. What's abusive and what's not? For example, just during pregnancy, which is my focal point in my work, we can say no drugs or alcohol. Then we have to talk about, well, what about cigarettes? Well, what if they don't eat 75 grams of protein a day? What if they don't take their vitamins? It becomes a very slippery slope and very difficult to say at any particular point you're abusing that child, you have no right to parent anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, my follow-up question would be, how are you going to prevent all the non-licensed people from conceiving pregnancies and bearing children anyway? And what are you going to do with all of the people who decide to conceive and bear children anyway? Are you going to forcibly remove their children, either by abortion or by forcible removal after birth? And then what's going to happen to those children? Are they going to be warehoused somewhere until somebody wants them?
There are plenty of adoptable kids right now already.
Yeah. Did you want to respond to
that? Can I make a point? Kids that could be adopted that aren't adopted.
Yeah. Can I make a point about your eating habits?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not yours personally, but the kids that you about your comment that you made about kids getting all their protein that they need. I think that should be the parents' job to make sure the kids get the right food that they need. The adequate attention that they need, and the adequate amount of whether it's like funding, like giving them money to do stuff, giving them like love and support, and just giving them freedom when they need it. I think that should be the parents' job to set those things straight.
I agree with you, David. My concern was primarily with the pregnant woman who is eating to nourish her child. And the brain development and growth of that child. Are we going to say if she doesn't eat 75 grams of protein, which is optimal, that she's abusing the child, that she's nurturing inside her uterus?
She's saying you have to look at all of that type of stuff along with the drugs and alcohol during pregnancy.
I mean, you're going to have to put somebody in a cell, basically, and watch them 24 hours
a day. Jail.
I'm gonna let Charlotte respond, and then as other people put their hands up, the subject matter is wide open now. It's not limited to only objections.
You said she was next,
Edward. Okay, I'm coming to you next, but I'm gonna let Charlotte respond to upstairs.
Ew, since you think this, do you have any way
to modify what we're saying to control that from going to that extent? Or do you think that it should be brought to something close to that?
Are you saying, am I in favor of licensing or not in favor of licensing?
I'm asking, do you have a way of keeping that from going to that? Do you have an idea? I'm not like saying that you should, but
Short of mandatory Depo-Provera shots, mandatory, irreversible birth control that's out of the hands of the client, I don't think there is any way to legislate this, regardless of our ideas.
Even if it were desirable, you think it just there's no effective
there's no
way to do it?
There's no way.
Yeah.
That's the point I was going to
make. Okay, good. And you're on the list.
We can't get enough foster parents now mm-hmm. to take care of children. So we will start warehousing them in orphanages mm-hmm. or group living. We have to train people to look after all these children. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem in itself. And then I also wonder, what happens to immigration?
Say a little bit more.
Well,
how would that be a factor?
Okay, we have families coming into this country mm-hmm. who will be immigrants. Do they have to be licensed before they can come in, even though they have family? Because their culture happens to be a little different than mm-hmm. ours.
Would you go so far as to be opposed to licensing parents on the grounds that all of these difficulties in enforcement would be too severe and that we'd end up with too many children without homes? Would that be your argument?
And I just don't think it's a good idea.
Okay, you're just...
at all.
Okay, go ahead.
It's hard for me to represent this point of view. I wish there was a person of color or a low-income person here who would say that this is genocide. That
because
this is a way for the majority society, the rich and powerful, mm-hmm. to keep mm-hmm. us in place.
Right.
You know, and I think if you correlate a lot of what goes on with folks that abuse their kids, it involves poverty.
Yeah.
Okay, and so what are we going to do? Are we going to cut off those folks?
Are you saying that there's a class issue in that more abusers would be on the lower classes and
I think definitely so, and I think higher class people can mask it. I think they would know how to answer the questions. I think they would be able to get by the test.
There also seems to be something we're not talking about is that why do we start with the parents? Why aren't we working with the youngsters, the teenagers, the young people that we have mm-hmm. now and educating them?
To be
and
better parents.
Spending our money doing that rather than issuing licenses.
Okay. Are we speaking to your point?
No, I just wanted to say, we're trying to maybe create a perfect society, and I always get very, very scared because nothing can be perfect, in my opinion. Just listening to the procedure that should this ever be implemented, let's say in the hypothetical case, it gives me the creeps because I'm German that feels very, very guilty about what happened during the Nazi era in Germany, where they did have you can call them children factories, where Hitler had the image of creating a genetically clean, perfect people. And race, right. And this is very, very intrusive. I mean, this too intrusive to the point of horrible. I believe we as a community, we have to, I think we play a very big role in raising children, in also caring not just for your own, but also for children who might have problems or who need nurturing. And you can do that through the schools by helping out there, or if you see, I mean, if you see some abuse or if you see someone in need of help to become a better parent, we have churches and we have other tools. I believe it's important that we make more tools available through different social programs and making parenting courses available. Our school district is doing that. They found out that a lot of children, I mean 4 or 5 years entering the system, carried a lot of baggage with them. So they just, after consulting with several leaders in the community, they started offering parenting classes that happened this last May. So I believe that we should not, I think we carry quite a responsibility as a member in our society, society is too broad, and community.
I think what I'd like to do maybe would be to move towards closure. I've got two hands, but I think I'm not going to recognize you. I hope you don't feel too insulted. And then I would like to give the members of the panel one final chance to say something, and then we'll hopefully end about 9:30, and people can continue to talk. So members of the panel, David, sounds like you want to say something.
I have to think about my debate. Do you have something, Sean?
Sure. After hearing all of this, I don't think that we should have licensing period.
You're opposed to it now?
I'm completely opposed to the licensing. But I do agree with what I said before, just to test him and say, okay, yes, you are. Just the psychological thing. Only the psychological thing. And if they are, then do, okay, say, okay, fine, you are this, you are at risk, here's extra help, it's available, it's right here, plus, I'm sorry, but we do have to check in on you, we just don't want to have the abuse going on, and I still do think that that's, from what I've heard, it does go with most stuff that was said here.
So you recommend the test be mandatory, and in some cases surveillance, but no licensing. Is that what you say?
But I do see it because of the records being kept. It would probably be on computer in the first place. Second of all, we have hackers, and they're just getting better. So those whole documents can be changed. So I'm not real sure about that one.
Well, don't we already have help in society today?
Help?
Not as much as we should.
No, we don't.
We could have a lot of money.
We could have a lot of money.
This way, they would be just getting the best with it. Mm-hmm. They'd be told you have a problem.
Does the money.
Here's how. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but this, we are going to help you.
And if they watch them, people can step mm-hmm. in if there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you remember what you wanted to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say that now, for me, I am, despite all what I said up there, I'm now in between, whether I'm for or against okay. it. I'm for the whole thing on that the parents should have a drug test every so often, but I'm now pretty much against the, giving the written, giving them a written test that goes beyond like beyond boundaries, not like beyond the common boundary lines for questioning. Because there have been tests that I have done for school and have asked such questions that are like, not even true to reality, that I just sat there and not answered them.
Mm-hmm.
I took a test for this one company that was asking about what my sex life was like, and I just sat there and I deliberately wrote on the test, this question is irrelevant to most teenagers as of today, and so I think you should take it off the test.
Mm-hmm.
And I even...
And you didn't get the job, did you?
No, but I just deliberately stated that... So some questioning can be like totally wacky. It's like not even so... It's not even with reality. I don't know why they do that, but... Mm-hmm. I just think there's some big shot in this film. I'm totally now against giving it a written test.
Well,
end of story.
We can expect things to be changing at Harvard with some frequency.
Yeah.
Sonia, you have anything else you want to add?
I am pleased to have been part of the debate. It's good to have this on the table and talk about parenting as a priority issue and nurturance as a priority issue. And I'm particularly intrigued by the neurobiology piece of it and think that that would have some certainly moderating effect. And also that I think the group has presented a good framework for looking at the issue in terms of the fact that it's really difficult to legislate morality, mm-hmm. and we continue to try to do that in our culture, but I still am concerned that for a great majority of the culture, parenting is not an issue, and so I may be winning over to Charlotte's person.